morning, church. It's been wonderful to come here and gather together to praise and worship the Lord. And thank you, sisters, for leading us in songs. And thank you, brother, for just a timely reminder that it's our Lord Jesus alone can fulfill our thirst this morning. So it's a great gathering here to honor the Lord. And this morning, my wife is not here with me. She's gone overseas. She's gone to spend time with her parents. So I just got to share an exciting news from my wife's side. And my father-in-law has been a very hardcore communist for the last 77 years of his life. And we've been trying to share the word of God with him for many years. We've been praying, fellowship have been praying. And this week, he finally came to the end of himself. And he realized he really needs a savior. And he confessed that it's through Jesus alone he can find salvation. And that's a wonderful news for me and my family. And there's another news in our fellowship which happened very recently. And my friend's mother, 93 years old, she lived all her life trusting in the traditions of the church. But at 93 years, she came to trust in the Lord. So I just want to encourage everyone today, no matter for whom you are praying, but the Lord is still living. The Lord is really working in the hearts and minds of our family members. And this morning, that we'll go into the, we'll open our Bible to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Starting from verse 10 all the way up to verse 20. Philippians 4, starting from verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more to be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and I have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's commit this time. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your living word, O Lord. Father, we thank you that even as we read in 2 Timothy 3:16, Lord, that all scripture is inspired by you, Lord. It's used for teaching, for training, for correction, and for rebuking us, leading us into righteousness, O Lord. And Father, this morning, even as we open this passage in Philippians, we just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and mind. And we may lead a life, as well as we go out, we may lead a life to glorifying your name, O Lord. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in 1960s, there was a famous historian, he observed and made a statement that our society is filled with inextinguishable discontentment. So what he really means by that, he said that people are never satisfied with their wants. No matter how much we get in life, they always want something more. And that was his observation about the society. So I'll just tell a story about a rich Englishman. He had hired a cook to work for him, And so every day this cook used to cook for him. One day this man, the Englishman, came down his stairs and he saw the cook speaking to herself. "I wish I had 5 pounds in my life." She was praying and, you know, she was just expressing herself. "I wish I had 5 pounds. That will really make me happy." And the owner, the Englishman, he heard what she was saying. He thought about it and he said, "Well, I got a lot of money. Let me make her happy." So he promptly went, bought 5 pounds and he gave to the cook, hoping that the cook would appreciate it. And she was thankful. She was thankful enough for getting the 5 pounds. And the Englishman, he stood beside the door to see whether she is going to thank the Lord for the answered prayer. And the cook again started talking to herself, "How silly of me for asking 5 pounds. I should ask for 10 pounds. You know, that is how the world, like, you know, we ask something from the Lord and the Lord provides, but still we, you know, there's not enough joy in our hearts. As someone said, there are only two tents the whole world lives in. One is content and another one is discontent. So we all fall under either any one of the tents. And this morning the question would be, which tent are we living our life? So we go into this passage, Philippians. When Paul wrote the book of Philippians, Paul has written many books in the New Testament, and you see the many faces of Paul in the book of New Testament. When he wrote the book of Romans, you see Paul, the theology, Paul talking about the theology, about the, like, you know, trusting in the Lord. When we read the book of Corinthians, we see Paul as a troubleshooter. You know, Paul addresses different issues and he gives them a solution in the Lord. When you read a book of Galatians, Paul is upset. He's asking Galatians, "Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And then when you come to the book of Philippians, it's a book which is very, the Philippians are very close to Paul's heart. It's a thank you letter. The book of Philippians is nothing but a thank you letter to the church of Philippi. And we'll see what Paul has to say for us. And through this book in chapter 4, Paul is mentioning that he makes a bold statement in verse 11, chapter 4, verse 11. Paul is saying that, "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." So through this life of Paul, we'll learn how to live a life independent of circumstances. So there are three questions I'd like to address this morning. We'll try to answer through the scriptures. One is, what is contentment? How do we find contentment? And thirdly, what is the secret of contentment? So let's go back to verse 10 of chapter 4. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." So here we see the context. The church in Philippi, they were always very supportive of Paul's work, Paul's ministry. And for some reason, they didn't have an opportunity to support Paul for some time. And here in verse 10, we see Paul is telling, he's rejoicing again because the people of the church in Philippi, they came forward to support Paul again. And how did they do it? We read in verse 18, where the church in Philippi sends a congregation member by the name of Epaphroditus. So they send Epaphroditus to Paul with the gifts and money. Right now Paul is in the prison, even as he writes the book of Philippians, and he's waiting for a trial. There in the prison, when the church in Philippi hears about it, they send this person with all the gifts and the money to encourage Paul. And Paul is very thankful, because right, if you read in the book of Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were the first ones to baptize the early believers in Philippi, Lydia and the family. Bible says Lydia and the household were baptized by Paul and Silas. So this church was very dear to Paul's heart, because right throughout his ministry, they were always very supportive. They used to encourage him, they used to send gifts, they used to pray with him, they used to pray for him. So the Philippian church throughout were very consistent in supporting the ministry of Paul. In verse 15, chapter 4, verse 15, We read that, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. So Paul is very appreciative and very thankful that even though none of the church was supporting Paul, but the believers in Philippi, they were very, very supportive of Paul. They're supporting him and they were meeting all his needs. And verse 17, not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. So it's not that Paul is dependent on the gifts he's receiving from the church of Philippi. Paul knew how to live a life independent of his circumstance. Paul understood that the Lord alone will provide, will meet all his needs. But here, Paul is very, in verse 17, Paul is teaching the principle of, like, you know, Paul's desire is that the Lord should bless them in eternally. So he's teaching the principles from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, which says that he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he who sows in bountiful shall reap in bountiful. So the principle Paul is teaching and desiring for the church in Philippi is, I thank you, brothers and sisters, for supporting me. Now I want, my desire is not just for this gift, but I want the Lord to multiply your eternal dividends. I want the Lord to bless you eternally. That was Paul's main focus in for the Philippians. And we see the same principle in the Gospel of Mark. We'll read that passage, Mark chapter 12. So Mark chapter 12, we read from verse 41. It's a very familiar passage for us. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting the money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small coins, copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has more into the treasure, has put more into the treasure than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything. All she had was to live on. So here we see the church in Philippi. They are not a rich church. They, whatever they gave Paul, they gave out of their poverty. So they are trying to help Paul and to meeting all his needs. And the whole Bible, it talks about the same thing. When we give with a cheerful heart, God always blesses us. And that is what Paul is trying to share in verse 17, that he desires that more to be credited to your account. In verse 18, I have received full payment. I have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. So Paul is telling that, you know, I'm really, really thankful for the gifts you have sent. And is also is describing what sort of gift they have sent. In verse, the next verse talks about they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So here Apostle Paul is telling that you, by giving your gifts to me, you are honoring God because you are supporting the ministry of the gospel. You are supporting the mission work where I am reaching out the gospel with others. You are honoring me, but thereby God is pleased with you. And it is a Old Testament image where, like, you know, the aroma, our offering is an aroma for God. So it's when we offer to the Lord, it's not only when we sing the songs, we worship through the message. Even offering is an act of worship. Okay, it's very important that we understand that offering is an act of worship. Through this giving, there are three things we find. One is the givers, the church in Philippi, they are blessed by the Lord because of the cheerful heart, because they are giving for the work of the mission, and the Lord is blessing them eternally. That is the first thing we see as a giver. And Paul, as a receiver, is going through a lot of trials in his life. Right now, he is in the prison. But Paul, through these gifts, is comforted. knowing that the God of the universe is the God of all comfort. So we have the givers being blessed, we have Paul being comforted, and we have the name of the Lord being honored, because giving is an act of worship. So we see three things through this giving, this whole thing, whole passage. So next we go back to verse 11, and this is the most important thing I would like to address about contentment. So Paul was very thankful for the gifts. Even though he was very thankful, Paul wanted to remind the church in Philippi that his joy, his happiness was not based on because of the gifts he received. Paul wanted to remind that he was very much independent of the circumstance. Paul wanted to tell them very politely, I'm very appreciative of what you are doing for me, but my real joy comes from a source which is much deeper than that. And that is where he starts in verse 11. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So I just read the definition of contentment. In Cambridge Dictionary, it defines contentment as happiness and satisfaction, often because we have everything. I grew up within my own family. My parents always taught me, if you have three meals a day, if you have a roof under over your head, if you have clothes to wear, be content in life. You know, that is a general definition of society. You have these things, be content. But Paul was trying to make them understand, it's not about that. The real contentment is living independent of circumstances. We are not influenced by a circumstance. You know, today it's a very sunny day and our mood is very happy. You know, today I'm very joyful. No, tomorrow is a rainy day, I'm upset. No, it's our mood swing should not be dependent on the circumstance. So verse 11, Paul is saying, no matter what it is, I'll learn to be content in life. So today, just want to throw a question, ask one question. What is one thing that separates you from joy? So if I were to write a sentence this morning, how do you fill in the blank? I'll be happy when I am dash. So what would you fill in that? I'll be happy and joyful when I get a promotion in my job. Would that be an answer? I'll be happy and joyful when I buy a new car. I'll be happy when I find the right partner for myself. I'll be happy when my children get married. I'll be happy with, you can fill in the blanks no matter what it is. So the question is, are we dependent, when none of these things happens in our life, there's nothing wrong in desiring for a partner, desiring for promotion in work, in desiring for a new car, there's nothing wrong. What if the Lord doesn't answer any of these things? What if our prayers are never get answered? Would I still be content? Would I still be joyful? So this is one question to reflect. You know, in the context of contentment, this is one thing I'd like to reflect. Would I still be independent of the circumstances in my own life? And there's another, in this context, I want to share another incident about a rich businessman, child of God. Due to some reasons, his business was almost on the verge of going bankrupt. He was almost about to shut down his business. So he made an appointment with his pastor for counseling. So he met the pastor, and the pastor, they both sat, they prayed about it, then they started talking. And the businessman told the pastor, Pastor, I'm on the verge of losing everything in life. And the wise pastor looked at him and he said, I'm so sorry to hear that you have lost your faith. And the businessman said, no, sorry, Pastor, I didn't say about the faith. I still have my faith intact. It's not about my faith. I'm on the verge of losing everything. And the pastor again told him, well, I'm sorry to hear that you have lost your salvation. And the businessman got upset. He said, no, I'm not talking about that. I know my salvation. I know I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm still saved. My salvation is intact. And again the businessman said, I'm so sorry that you have lost your character. And the man said, no, it's not about my character. It's about my business. And the pastor said, well, you got your faith, well, you got your salvation, and you got your character intact. These are the most important things in life. which means you have not lost anything in life. You understand the meaning? So it's the, when you have the most important thing in life, and for us, Christ alone is enough. When you have Jesus, we have everything in life. No matter what we get, it's all a bonus for us. No matter what we lose, doesn't matter. In Christ, we are complete. Now in Christ, we have everything in life, what is required for us. So for us, the children of God, the meaning of contentment is having Jesus in our life. So that is the first question about what is contentment. And the next one is, how can I be content? Philippians chapter 4 verse 12. Can we honestly say with Paul, can we read verse 12 honestly with Paul and say, I know what it is to be in need. I know what is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So Paul is trying to teach the church in Philippi that even though you are spiritually, you are physically full, you need to remain in a state of spiritual hunger. Even though you are physically hungry, you need to be in a state of spiritually full. So the whole idea is about being content in Christ. No matter whether we are full, we are blessed with everything in life, or we are going through a lot of trials in life, God wants us to be always grateful. God wants us to be always thankful. And even as Paul says in verse 12, he says he learned through the circumstances. And where did Paul learn through the circumstances? We'll read a passage from Corinthians chapter 2. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting from verse 24 to 26.
Five times I escaped from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. And night and day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern?
Yeah, thanks, brother. So here we see Paul going through severe trials in his life. And then Philippians chapter 4, 12, he says, I know how to be full. I don't know how to lack everything that through the trials. And we see through all these things, Paul is not trying to boast here. We'll read it, go to the next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. Thanks, brother. So, through the trials, Paul prays for this thorn to be removed, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. So today, another how to get content we see, the grace of the Lord is enough for us, no matter what we go through in life. His grace is sufficient for us. And I read an incident about a missionary. He went to an island in West Indies, in a place called Trinidad. So he was doing a short-term mission. And this was, he went to a leper's colony where people with leprosy, this was many years ago, and they were worshipping the Lord. So he went for the Sunday service, and towards the end of the service, he asked the congregation, you know, would you like to pick a song? And the lady put her hand up, and she said, I'd like to sing Count Your Many Blessings. And, you know, the man, the missionary looked at the lady, and he was shocked. Because she didn't have any fingers, her nose was gone, her ears were gone, she didn't have an eyebrow, she was fully eaten by leprosy. But this dear sister knew what to be content in the Lord. And you know, instead of looking at her weakness, looking at the physical issues she is having, she was looking at the blessings of the Lord, knowing the Lord. And that's a wonderful testimony. That's what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. It says, in Christ we are blessed with every spiritual blessings. So when we have Jesus in our lives, we are complete. We don't lack anything. We can say that we are content. Okay, that's a second aspect of how to be content. And then we go to the next verse here. What is the secret of being content? Philippians chapter 1. And verse 21.
But for me to live is Christ and die is gain.
Yes, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So the cornerstone of contentment is nothing but cross. It's because of the cross we are seated here today, this morning. It's because of the cross we have so much freedom to worship the Lord. It's because of the cross our salvation is secure. It's because of the cross we can say our Heavenly Father as Abba Father. You know, it's because of the cross we can come united as brothers and sisters in the Lord. So the true cornerstone of contentment is nothing but cross. So it's a very important principle we apply. And in Galatians 2:20, again Paul says, it's no longer I live, but Christ lives. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The secret of contentment is knowing that it's no longer I live. It's Christ who lives in me. The secret of contentment is, it's not about me. It's about the one who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's a very important principle to understand the secret of content. And we look at the next aspect of the secret of content. Philippians 3:13.
Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead.
Yes, so we, thanks brother. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. So if we want a true contentment in life, we got to let go of our past mistakes. We need to let go of our unforgivable attitude in life. Because when we have unforgiveness, when we always dwell on the past mistakes, we can never have a true contentment. So the true contentment is allowing the Lord to work in our hearts, to forgive each other and to be satisfied in Him. And the third thing I love to read is Philippians chapter 4, verse 19.
And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
So my God shall supply all my needs. So here the Bible is not talking about my God shall supply all my desires. It's talking about the needs. Again, there's a story about two friends. They both are children of God. And they met after a long time. And one friend had a big frown in his face. He was very sad. And the other brother asked him, well, what happened to you? He said, you don't understand what happened. 3 weeks back, my aunt passed away. And when she died, she left $40,000 in a will for himself. And the brother said, oh, that's a lot of money. You know, you had $40,000, your aunt has left. He said, no, it's not about that. 2 weeks back, I lost my cousin, whom I never met him, but before he died, he left $90,000 in his will for myself. And his friend was really confused. He said, what's happening? You got your aunt who passed away, who left $40,000. You got your cousin who passed away, and you've been struggling financially, and the Lord has answered your prayer. He said, it's not about that. Last week, my great maternal uncle passed away. He left $250,000 for myself. And this man was really, really confused. He said, you tell me, give me a reason. What is all this? He said, well, for the last 3 weeks, the Lord has answered my prayer. but this week no one has died and I'm not getting any money. You see the greed, that is called the greed. You know, it's not, he prayed and the Lord provided for him, but then he was not satisfied. That is called the greed. So the Lord always provides us through various means, but he wants us to acknowledge it, no matter what it is. So it's we understand through this that my God shall supply our needs. Even the Philippians, when Paul wrote chapter 4, when the church in Philippi, out of poverty, they met Paul's needs. Because they sent gifts and money to Paul, they had their own need in their life. And that is where this context comes, chapter 4, verse 19. Paul is telling the church in Philippi, my God shall supply all your needs. That's a wonderful promise for us to look unto. And finally, we go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13.
I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Yes. So this is one of the favorite verse for many people across the world in a church circle. If you know of Evander Holyfield, the boxer, he was a world champion a few years back. When he used to come to the boxing ring, he'll come with his jersey, everything, with the Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things. And he went and bashed Mike Tyson. He won the match. And the next round, again, he came back with the same Philippians 4:13. And he got bashed. He lost very badly. So a lot of people take this out of context. And my son, for my son, the favorite is a basket. He loves basketball. So for him, Stephen Curry is currently the most famous guy. So if you look at Stephen Curry's sneakers, you'll see Philippians 4:13. So he goes, he plays well, I can do all things, and he wins a match, and he comes back happy. One day he lost a match, and he was very disappointed. How come I took the promise 4:13, still I lost the match? And he came to his locker, he thought about himself. How come, I thought I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But then he read the previous verses, Philippians 4:11 and 12. And then he understood, it's not about I can do all things through Christ. It's about allowing Christ to work in our lives. So this verse is a very, very abused. If you look at the televangelist on the TV, you look at a lot of preachers, they use this verse and tell, yes, you have to make a positive confession. You've got to say, I can do all things through Christ. I can get this job. I can build this house. I can do this. You go, brother, go and make money, and you know, I can do because Christ lives in me. No, it's not about that. It's about verse 12 of chapter 4, which we read. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. So even here, what Paul is telling is, even to the point of death, Paul came to the point of death. Even there, Paul is telling, when I come to the end of myself, then I see the power of Christ works through me. It is the power of Christ which enables me to do all things. So it's all about recognizing what Christ has done for us. We'll read another verse from Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, 12 to 14.
Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the power of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else. And that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill.
Thanks, brother. So this is the true meaning of Philippians 4:13. You have, through Paul's trials and tribulations, we see the gospel is advanced. We see a lot of people coming out in boldness, proclaiming the word of God. So it's not about I can do anything I like in life. It's about me coming to the end of myself and recognizing the one who lives in me. It's through his strength we draw our source. So to finish this morning, I'm sure we all are going through difficult things in our life at various stages. And it may be some difficulty may be too big for us. But I just want to encourage that through Paul's letter to Philippians, that for our Lord, nothing is too big. He can do all things through us. Even as we read in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 6 to 7. Yes. So the Lord, this morning, the Lord wants us to humble ourselves, acknowledging our weakness, because through Him we draw our strength. And by casting all our anxieties on Him, the Lord is telling, I am there for you. I will work for you, for your own good. So I just want to finish with the most popular verse we all know, Romans 8:28. We'll turn to Romans 8:28.
And we know that God wants all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are born according to His purpose.
So even as we walk out of this, let's understand that we know in all things, not in few things, the Lord works out for our own good, because He has loved us and He has given us Himself for us. So let's thank God this morning for His wonderful truth. Yeah. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for this wonderful passage in the book of Philippians, Lord. Father, we thank You that through the ministry of Paul, through life of Paul, Lord, we can learn the true meaning of contentment, that we don't have to be dependent on our circumstances, Lord, but we can learn to be independent of our circumstance. And Father, we know that through You, Lord, we can do all things. Through emptying us completely and trusting in Your power, we know that Your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. And Father, we thank You for this time. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.